Senate will be in order. The prayer today will be offered by Margaret Guth. She's the guest of the Senator from Hancock, Senator Guth. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Yuvia Jimenez from Iowa City. Are there corrections to the journal? Hearing none, the journal is approved as printed. Are there any senators to be excused? Are there any senators seeking the floor for announcements, introductions, or points of personal privilege? For what purpose does the senator from Woodbury, Senator Jay Smith, seek the floor?
Yes, Mr. President. Am I in order for an announcement?
You're in order, Senator.
I would like the chamber to welcome a group of folks from Sioux City, Iowa. It's in the northwest corner for those that live on the eastern side. And they're respiratory therapists. And I think we could all agree that breathing is pretty important. They're the ones that hook us up to machines if we need a little bit of help. And they are here advocating for licensure. I think it's pretty important that they know what they're doing, because all of you have a lot of air that you'd like to disperse in here. So please stand. Let's give them a round of applause and work on keeping them licensed. Thank you.
What purpose does the senator from Mitchell, Senator Brown, seek the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Would I be in order for an announcement?
You're in order, Senator.
Well, thank you. You know, there's an extra buzz in the air today, not just in the Capitol, but around the whole Des Moines metro. I would like everybody to know that the champions have come back to town, and state wrestling starts today. I am proud to have a great representation from many schools up in Northwest Iowa, Northeast Iowa, North Central Iowa, and I want to wish all the participants best of luck. And Senator Zumbaugh, would you yield for a question?
Senator Zumbaugh, will you yield?
Yes, I will.
You're in order, Senator.
Do you know how many individuals West Delaware got through to the state tournament this year?
I do.
How many?
Happy to say my alma mater high school at West Delaware in Manchester has sent 12 individuals to the state tournament, which is a record.
Not only is that a record, but I believe there's 14 individuals that could have made it through to the state wrestling tournament. Ladies and gentlemen, that is an outstanding team, and I wish them the best of luck, too, as they probably go up against Osage maybe at one point here today for hopefully a state championship.
Thank you.
For what purpose does the senator from Johnson, Senator Walz, seek the floor?
Good morning, Mr. President. Would I be in order for a point?
You're in order, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, today we have Iowans who own mobile homes from across our state here at the Capitol. They are here to share with you their stories and to tell us what is happening and continuing to happen in Iowa as predatory and out-of-state corporations continue to acquire Iowa trailer parks and subject our constituents to massive rent increases. I know it is funnel week and we're all incredibly busy, but I urge you to take just a few minutes and listen to their stories today. I'd also like to share with the body why these out-of-state corporations are coming into our state and buying these parks. A common misconception is that these corporations are trying to buy the land and develop the property for a different use, and that's actually not what is going on. These purchases are about acquiring the stream of cash rent that these residents pay every month. The key point to understand is that mobile homes aren't actually mobile. They cost $6,000 to $7,000 to move if they are structurally sound enough to move at all. This means that the people who live in them have few options when the rent is raised. To illustrate this point, I'll quote Frank Rolfe, who is an out-of-state investor and a member of the board of directors of the Iowa Manufactured Housing Association. Mr. Rolfe said on camera that buying a mobile home park is like owning, quote, a Waffle House where the customers are chained to their booths, end quote. Mr. Rolfe owns 25 parks in Iowa. Now, if that quote sounds too incendiary to be real, here he is again on why these parks are great investments. Quote, the customers are stuck there. They don't have the option. They can't afford to move the trailer. The only way they can object to your rent raise is to walk off and leave the trailer, in which case it becomes abandoned property and you can recycle it and put another person in it. So you really hold all the cards, end quote. That's why these out-of-state companies are coming in. In fact, in just the past 24 months, out-of-state investors like Mr. Rolfe and Haven Park Capital, which has been in the news for their egregious rent increases of nearly 70%, have acquired at least 30 Iowa mobile home communities, again, in just the past 2 years. The problem here is not local Iowa owner-operators who know their residents and who treat them like neighbors. The problem are these out-of-state companies who treat Iowans like numbers. Last year, the Senate unanimously amended and passed House File 638, which was the best vehicle we could get our hands on so late in the session to try and address some of these issues. But the more we learned about the depth of those challenges after we adjourned, the clearer it became that even our bill, which would have been a solid step forward, wasn't enough. The legislature needed a more in-depth conversation and to take legislation through the conventional committee process. So we organized the senators who worked on this legislation last year, both Democrat and Republican, and the representatives whose concerns about our amended bill couldn't be fully addressed before we adjourned last year. We formed a bipartisan and bicameral working group to try and find common ground on this topic and propose comprehensive reform that could actually pass in 2020. We asked the association for their input. They did not provide any. We held a public hearing in December to which the association was invited and literally given a seat at the table. At that hearing, they shared no legislative solutions and provided no input, even though they acknowledged that Iowans are being mistreated. And even though they had our memo outlining potential solutions in their possession for nearly 6 weeks. Now the association is saying that they were not involved in this process, and that is simply not true. The association is also falsely claiming that this legislation contains, quote, rent control. That is not the case. This legislation contains a rent justification model in which if a landlord raises rent higher than inflation, they must explain to their residents in the written rent increase notification, which they are already obligated to provide under current law, why the rent is increasing. And one option for legal explanations under this bill is simply an increase in the cost of market rent or other capital improvements made by the landlord. Does that sound like rent control to you? Second, the IMHA falsely states that only four states have a similar model: Washington, D.C., Oregon, New York, and California. Curiously, the association did not include in that list the actual state upon which this legislation was modeled nearly verbatim, Delaware. You don't have to take my word for it. You can compare our legislation with Delaware Title 25, Chapter 70, Subchapter 6. And anybody who has ever created an LLC knows that Delaware is not a state known to be hostile to business interests. Finally, Mr. President, I have deeply appreciated your support for these efforts last year, and I hope that we can continue to have the support of this chamber for reforms. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, this is a good bill. This legislation reflects a lengthy, transparent, and bipartisan process. We sought input from residents, from landlords, and from third-party experts. We requested information and input from the Iowa Manufactured Housing Association, despite their claims to the contrary. And given the challenges our constituents are facing, inaction is simply not an option. It is precisely because of all the hard work put into this legislation by both Democrats and Republican senators and representatives that companion bills were introduced with over 40 co-sponsors between the House and the Senate. I know I'm a freshman, so maybe I'm too naive, but I thought that this kind of agreement was precisely how the Capitol is supposed to work. I hope that we will advance this legislation this week and continue to ensure that Iowans who own mobile and manufactured homes are treated by our law with the dignity and respect they deserve. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. For what purpose does the Senator from Wayne, Senator Sinclair, seek the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Am I in order for an announcement?
You're in order, Senator.
Excellent. So today is STEM Day at the Capitol, and I hope you're all excited about that. The mission of the Iowa Governor's STEM Advisory Council is to support STEM education and economic development across the state. They offer materials and training to help increase student interest and achievement in STEM and connect their learning to careers right here in our state. So today, from 10 to 1, I invite you all and encourage you all to pop downstairs where there will be an exhibition of STEM projects showcased down on in the first floor rotunda. They have STEM scale-up programs, STEM Best, Iowa STEM Teacher Externships, Iowa STEM Teacher Awards, Computer Sciences Elementary, and other festivals and science fair-type activities that are available for you to check out. Additionally, at 10 o'clock, there will be a brief ceremony to honor the six recipients of the Iowa STEM Teacher Award that's sponsored by Kiemann Industries. So if you could pop down for that, it'd be great. 10 to 1 in the first floor rotunda, 10 o'clock if you want to join the ceremony. Thanks a lot.
For what purpose does the Senator from Lynn, Senator Mathis, seek the floor?
Mr. President, am I in order for two announcements?
You're in order, Senator.
All right, so the Iowa Farmers Union is here today, and since 1915, Iowa Farmers Union members have worked together to strengthen the independent family farm through education and legislation and cooperation to provide Iowans with sustainable production, safe food, a clean environment, and healthy communities. So please welcome them when you see them today in the Capitol. The second announcement is for a reception this evening, Iowa Public Airport Association for their legislative reception from 5:30 to 7 at the Greater Des Moines Botanical Garden. Kind of a state you can escape some of this cold weather, right? Go to the Botanical Garden, and that is at 909 Robert D. Ray Drive. I hope to see you there. Bye.
For what purpose does the Senator from Des Moines, Senator Green, seek the floor?
Am I in order for a brief announcement, Mr. President?
You're in order, Senator.
I'm sure everyone's been waiting for tonight. Tonight is the Drake basketball game. They're going to welcome all of us. I did want to thank Senator Bolton, but I'll bet he's taking care of that little girl this morning. Senator Bolton and I have kind of put together a group. We're hoping we can get as many senators, staff, and clerks, and everyone to attend the Drake game tonight at 7 o'clock. Senator Bolton has reserved a block of seats. You go to the ticket window and say you're with the Iowa legislature or the Iowa Senate basketball, cheering on them Bulldogs. I did want to let Senator Walz and Senator Smith know that they are in the starting lineup tonight. I've got a got an amendment I've worked through, and Coach Darren DeVries has agreed to that. So get your game face on. I expect to pound those boards tonight. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
For what purpose does the senator from Polk, Senator Bisignano, seek the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Am I in order for a point?
You're in order, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, you know, this is our funnel week, and I know we're growing tired. We're doing a lot of bills, a lot of bills that we agree with, a lot of bills we don't agree with. One bill that this morning was on public radio, and I'm not sure because I don't serve on the committee, is the bill that requires work and proof of work or study to get food stamps, food assistance. And if we have to pick a subject that one is probably very misunderstood in how you qualify, but also in the perception of people and who they believe are getting food stamps. And I, you know, I've always felt that people who are receiving food assistance generally are people legitimately that need food, that women and children, and it's something that should be the least of our worries as far as when it comes to assist Iowans. But I had an opportunity to get directly involved in one here recently, and I just want you to just know the profile. This is just one person, but I think that's indicative of many people in Iowa, that on February 6th, after leaving the legislature and getting home and having dinner and finally reclining, I have my phone, and my phone that I use personally is also my phone I use professionally. And I always have it on. I don't have the ring on, but I have the vibrator on, so I can hear it vibrate. And it was 11:30 at night, and I could hear my phone go off. And I looked, and I saw the time. And it was 11:28, to be exact. And I debated with myself, as should I answer this phone? It was an unidentified number. Usually you don't get, you know, solicitation calls that late. But it was a local number, a local zip code. And I let it ring four times, and I'm thinking, do I want another call? You know, what's this person want? Who is it? And something said, answer the phone. And I did. There was a woman in my district who called, and I said, you know, you realize it's 11:30, and she said, well, I just got off work, and I can call you tomorrow at your convenience. What would be a good time? And I said, there's not a good time. I can't tell you where I'll be through the day. You know, it's going to be hit and miss. So since we're both on the phone, why don't you just go ahead and tell me what you want to tell me? This woman had proceeded to tell me that because of a mix-up when she switched employment, the employer was supposed to have sent some type of document to the food assistance program to say that she no longer worked there, and she had another job she was going to make more money, and he refused to send it. She assumed he did, and there was a 30-day lap. In that 30-day lap, she was disqualified, and this was December 1st when this started with her. I talked to her February 6th. She had not received any assistance from December 1st through the holidays, January, to February 6th when I talked with her. And I said, how many children do you have? And she said, four. And I said, wow. I said, how are you feeding these kids? And she says, well, I work between 35 and 40 hours a week at Hy-Vee. thinking, well, that's a pretty good job. He says, I make $11 an hour. So our largest employer pays a wage of $11 an hour to some employees, new employees. I'm not sure how they set the rate for individuals. But she works almost 40 hours a week, and she makes $11 an hour, which is $412 a week. And that's $19,800 a year, well below the poverty line. And I said, what assistance do you get from the state of Iowa? And she said, well, when I get food assistance, I get that. That's like around $112 a month. And I get child care assistance, and I get Medicaid. So keep in mind, we're talking about the largest employer in Iowa. I respect Hy-Vee. They've done a lot of good things in the community. I have three Hy-Vees in my district. I have the pharmaceutical dispenser in my district. And the Hy-Vee is a very big employer just in my district. But they're the largest corporation of employees in the state. And yet, we still provide their employees with food assistance, child care assistance, and Medicaid. Something's wrong with that. You all ought to believe something's wrong with that. That we're giving welfare to Hy-Vee, so their employees qualify for welfare with us. That's what it is. You know, I don't know why we talk about welfare when we're at the end line of the actual citizen who's working 40 hours a week, but we don't call it welfare on the front line when we're letting corporations pay wages that allow people to qualify for government assistance. So as we grow as a state, as we grow Hy-Vee and other food chains and other like businesses, we wonder why our Medicaid cost is going up, why we need more money for child care assistance and food assistance. Well, it's kind of a catch-22 because we're growing, but we're not growing the right jobs, or we're not growing the right wage, because our largest employer, and there's many more, the employees still have to come to the taxpayer to live, to make it. And we don't talk about that in here. And when public radio talked today about people that need to work that are getting food stamps, and I don't disagree with that totally, that if you're able and you're not working because you're just not working and you're on government assistance, that we should require some training that you go to, some education, work, or looking for work. I can't argue with that. I won't argue with that, but when I have a mother with four kids who works 40 hours a week, who qualifies for all of our benefits and still needs to be home with her children, I can't ask much more from that person to participate in our economy, because one, if she didn't work at Hy-Vee, Hy-Vee would be short of employees. So there must be a number of her that works for them. And so we need employees. But the one thing this state is not doing any recognition of is the fact we're doing nothing with bringing up wages. And I don't know to what scale she'd have to go to in dollars per hour to not qualify for food stamps or child care or Medicaid. But shouldn't that be our goal? That someone who works a 40-hour week, who has children to raise, are self-sustainable? Do we have the right to sit in this chamber or sit in a committee room and talk about the deadbeats in Iowa that are beating the system and want them to go qualify quarterly, that they're still eligible? I think this woman has plenty on her plate without having to qualify quarterly that she qualifies for food assistance. But yet she's going to have to go through that hoop if legislation that's proposed in this chamber and is talked about on public radio today, and I assume maybe be coming out doing funnel week. Aren't we looking at this wrong? Or do we just like to beat that segment of society? I mean, is that just our campaign slogans, that we're going to cut food stamps, you know, we're going to cut these deadbeats that are sitting at home with a bunch of kids that aren't working, that we're giving food stamps to, they get free health care? Is that just rhetoric, or do we really, really care in the chamber? And I think that's so important that we care, but also that we're honest with ourselves. We need to know who these people are that are getting this assistance. And I'm sure there's a small percent of people that are beating the system. I'm sure there are. People beat the system everywhere. They beat the tax code. You know, they beat everything. But are we so focused on that little bit of who is getting maybe $112 a month for groceries that we complain that they go into Quick Trip and buy pop and they buy Doritos and so forth, and people, you read these, you know, stories of I was in line behind someone and they were eating better than I was, and you know, I resented it because I saw them pay with a state debit card. Is that really important? Or should we still be talking about driving up wages in this state? That's the driving factor of raising up Iowans. Self-reliance, self-respect, opportunity for their children, who on this kind of a budget probably can't participate in many extracurricular activities, can't join the rest of the kids when they go places socially. That when we talk about behavior in school, we, you know, there's ranges of what is going on when we talk about a really low-income state. Mothers that have to work 40 hours at Hy-Vee but then needs another job to try to get the extras. And these children are 10, 11, 12, and 13 years old. It's a very formative time that you don't want to leave these kids with no direction, no supervision, no one there to help with homework, no one know where they're at after school. Because then we create another problem. Then these kids start to get into trouble and falling in with the wrong kids. And then we deal with them in another part of our budget, the juvenile justice system, victims, dropout, teen pregnancy. So it really starts with wages in this state. It starts with, we need the thrust of moving forward with our businesses. And if we want to reward Iowa companies with tax cuts, you should get something back for tax cuts. Not a campaign check, Not an attaboy. That's not why we cut taxes. We cut taxes because we're trying to start to move something. A new industry to come in, wages to go higher, Medicaid to go down, food assistance to go lower. That's what we should be here for. Not the punitive side of who's getting it and how can we stop it, but why are they getting it and what can we do so that they don't need it? Isn't that what we're here for? So as we go and we finish the rest of this funnel week, and I see some of these very, very punitive bills of chasing around Iowans trying to catch them from taking something that they don't deserve. Well, I got this constituent to keep in my mind through this week as I hear these stories, that she's doing everything right. She's working. She's working nearly full time. Probably not full time and probably not getting any benefits. She's got four kids she's raising. She's a good woman. She's a good mother. That's the face. That's the photo that we ought to remember when we're sitting in that committee room ready to vote about what hoops we're going to create for people to make their life a little easier and help them upgrade themselves so we don't hear about them anymore. I'd like this woman to make enough money that I don't get a call 11:30 at night saying, I haven't had any food assistance for 3 months. It really wasn't my fault. My employer didn't cooperate. So now she's going back through the process, and I'm on the phone with DHS every day. That's who I represent. So do you. But let's just flip the picture over and quit looking at people as cons and deadbeats and ne'er-do-wells and look at them as Iowans who are struggling that just need a little bit of help to raise up so they don't have to make that call to us, because I'm sure their shame that they've got a call for assistance is there. They're honorable people just struggling in a very, very tough situation. Remember them this week. Thank you, Mr. President.
For what purpose does the senator from Blackhawk, Senator Dotsler, seek the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Would I be in order for an announcement this morning?
You're in order, Senator.
Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, last year, Senator Zahn and I worked in a bipartisan way to put an event on so we could have a better understanding of each other, and we had it at Christopher's, and we're planning on doing it again. Now, I know that we talked about wrestling and combat this morning. I assure you that we wouldn't allow any of that at our event. So, you know, Senator Brown, you know, we're going to behave ourselves, hopefully. So it's going to be next Wednesday night. So put it on your calendars at Christopher's. And that happens to be the 26th. So we'll send some more reminders out how much it'll cost for your dinner. If your spouse or significant other is welcome, and that might help hold down the combat. So I know it's funnel week, and we've got a lot of stress going on. We've got some tough bills and tough debate coming up, and I think it's good that we get an opportunity to talk to each other and maybe work out some of these ideas and differences in a friendly way. So. Center's on. I don't know if you want to say anything, but thank you for working on this, and I think it's a great idea that we get together.
For what purpose does the senator from Adams, Senator Shipley, seek the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Will I be in order for an announcement?
You're in order, Senator.
Well, I was going to let Senator Dawson do it. When I pushed the button, he wasn't here, but the Council Bluffs Area Chamber is going to be hosting a reception down at the Embassy Suites tonight from 5 to 7, so you can go there, then go to the basketball game, make a full evening out of it. But we'd invite you to join the Council Bluffs Chamber down there, the largest metropolitan area in the state of Iowa, as I understand it. So thank you.
For what purpose does the senator from Clayton, Senator Breitbach, seek the floor?
Would I be in order for a brief point?
You're in order, Senator.
Well, Senator Bezignano, I want to applaud that lady that's willing to go out and work and take a job and help provide for her family. You had some questions about what she qualified for. Well, I'll let you know that she, as long as she makes under $37,000, a family of five can qualify for $760 worth of food stamps or food assistance, however you want to call it. And if she could make up to, if she worked 40 hours a week for a year, she could make up to $18.70 an hour. So I and still qualify for those benefits. So again, we're looking at trying to make an easy off-ramp for these people as they get more skills, as they earn more money, so that they can be productive members of their society. And again, I applaud her for having four kids and being willing to go out there and go to work. That's great news for Iowa.
For what purpose does the senator from Polk, Senator Zahn, seek the floor?
An announcement, follow-up announcement, and a personal point.
You're in order, Senator.
I want to echo what Senator Doxer talked about. It is final week, and I know there's a lot of bills that we don't agree on. I can say this. I love every one of my Senate colleagues in this chamber. I haven't always been able to say that in this chamber, but everybody in here is special to me. I feel like you're my family. The whole idea to get together is to learn about each other. We don't have to talk about politics. I want to know about your kids. I want to know about your grandkids. I want to know what you do. We had a great time. I highly encourage everyone to show up at this. Crisper's restaurants, where we did last time, I thought it worked out pretty good. We'll have our own room. There will be a menu of three, I think, different selections that you could pick. I will send all that stuff out. It's in Senator Peterson's Senate district, and the district that I used to be honored to represent. But I think it's really important that we get together. You know, many, many years ago, before there was a 299 rule, I'm told that there was a lot of, you know, personal interaction that was going on. We don't want to fall down the same road as our United States Congress is going. We're family here. We all have the same challenges. We all have the same constituents. We all have the same demands. And I would just really be tickled if every one of you could show up and bring your significant other or spouse or whoever that is. We're not going to have any lobby there. It's really about us as a family. I hope all comes to that. And it's an honor to work with Senator Doxer as well. He's another incredible person that I think the world of. Now I'd like to move on to a point. I don't know, Senator Bisignano, about your Hy-Vee, but I can talk about my Hy-Vee. It's where we get our groceries at. As mayor of Urbandale, obviously we're all very involved in our community. And every time I go to a Little League game, or there's a fundraiser, or something that's needed in the community, you know who's the first person that steps up? It's Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee provides a lot of high-quality jobs. There is great people at our Hy-Vees. Those people work their tail ends off. A lot of us, that was probably our first job, was to work for that company. I'm thankful that they're based in Des Moines, Iowa. I tell you, we have a daughter that lives up in Minneapolis. They just moved into the Minneapolis market. They are completely changing the grocery business in Minneapolis area. They're growing everywhere. Thank you for paying your taxes. Thank you for employing people. Thank you for matching their Social Security. Thank you for providing benefits to literally thousands of people here in the state of Iowa. And I just think that, you know, I understand the point that you're trying to make, Senator Bisignano, but this is a good corporation, and we're proud to have them in the state of Iowa. Thank you.
For what purpose does the senator from Polk, Senator Bisignano, seek the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Another brief point.
You're
in response
order.
To my
You're
friend.
You're in order, Senator.
That was a good Hy-Vee ad. But if you heard me, the first thing I said was that Hy-Vee is a great corporation, that I have three Hy-Vees in my district, and I have their pharmaceutical dispensary. I know what they do charity. I know what they do at sporting events, and I saw what they did during the flood at the MLK store that flooded, and they could have closed it. But they bussed people to the store, and that's a great thing. So you put a spin on it, Senator, as if you had to defend Hy-Vee. I defended Hy-Vee on the front end. I'm not talking about Hy-Vee specifically. I'm talking about corporations in this state that abuse our workers by not paying them a livable wage. That's my point, to where the state has to subsidize them through their employment, and then we cut their taxes. We cut corporate taxes for businesses that their employees qualify for our government benefits. It's not Hy-Vee specific. There are Iowa corporations. So I'm a big supporter of Hy-Vee and their employment. But, you know, Hy-Vee employment is not like we tried to make when we want to raise the minimum wage, that those are starter jobs and they're for kids and old people. That's not true. Go to Hy-Vee and tell me that they're kids and they're old people. These are people, because it's employee owned, and they wear their badges to say, I've been here 12 years, I've been here 20 years. It's people that have taken pride in working there. So yes, it's a good employer for people, but not everybody gets benefits that works there. And there's people at Walmart that get benefits, but not all of them. And many of them qualify for our benefits. And those are the ones we need to scrutinize. So don't let it leave this chamber that Benedict Bisignano was saying that Hy-Vee isn't a good employee, that I don't appreciate Hy-Vee in this state, because I do. They just happen to be the employer of this constituent who's making $11 an hour, working full-time, while your side wants her to jump through hoops four times a year to prove that she's still working. Well, when do we call in the captains? The captains of the industry. And ask them when they're going to help us solve this problem. That's what needs to be done. What are we afraid of? Bring them in and tell them what our dilemma is. Tell them how much their corporation is costing the state of Iowa. As any one of them wants to whine about the high cost of their taxes. Well, where do they think the money's going? The waste, the state government. It's taking care of medical costs. It's taking care of food. It's taking care of children that they ought to be taken care of. Thank you, Mr. President.
Being no other senator seeking the floor, the chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Whitford.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask unanimous consent for the Transportation Committee to meet today at 2:45.
The senator from Polk, Senator Whitford, asks for unanimous consent that the Transportation Committee meet today at 2:45 p.m. Seeing no objection, so ordered. Senator Whitford, you're in order.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate adjourn until Thursday, February 20th at 9 a.m.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Polk, Senator Whitford. All those in favor say yay. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The Senate is adjourned until Thursday, February 20th at 9 o'clock a.m.